The fourth chapter of Numbers. I'm reading here a few verses, just this chapter. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, Take the sum." Wait a minute, I've got my wrong place here. What am I doing? Exodus, I'm sorry. Got the wrong text. Exodus. Not Numbers, Exodus chapter 4. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." Amen. The question that God spoke that in that desert to Moses. Just think about it. Moses is 80 years old. I know that age wasn't exactly the same factor that it is now, or at least the same ages, the same type of a factor. But 80 years old, and half of his life he has spent in the desert. It's almost as if that all of his purpose, I mean, God preserved his life as a little baby. He took care of him, provided, put him right in Pharaoh's palace. He preserved his life all of those years. But then he's banished to the wilderness, and he's in a situation where it would seem like that really any real powerful influence or impact for his life, that it's pretty much over. Seems like it's a loss. And I think sometimes we consider and we look at our lives and we think, well, Lord, how could you ever take this circumstance in my life and do something out of it? But the Lord was just preparing him to be a leader in the wilderness and to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness. It actually gave him 40 years to take care of those sheep and to lead the sheep and to direct them through that wilderness for 40 years, so that whenever he was ready and the time was right and God spoke to him to go and to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness, he was going to be well trained for wilderness leadership. Amen. But the voice of the Lord spoke to him and said, well, what's in your hand? Because his response, Moses' response, he said, Lord, if I go, they're not going to believe me. I'm not going to be able to convince them. They're not going to listen to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They're not going to believe him. I mean, he's been out of the picture for 40 years. There's a whole generation now that's not even going to know who he is. He said, they're not going to believe me. And by the way, Moses had all kinds of excuses that he threw up. Lord, I can't speak plain, and I've got all of these things working against me. I can't in any way do what you're asking me to do. You know that God often asks us to do what we cannot do in our own power. And the greatest success for God comes many times when we're willing to do, step out in faith and to do what we cannot do in our own power. And we tend to think, well, Lord, you can use my strengths, you can use my skills, you can use my abilities, and certainly the Lord does that. But there are times, and I think many of the times, the greatest things that we miss out on is when we do not allow the Lord to work through us in areas of our life that, you know, we don't have any ability. So he spoke to him. And, you know, every believer, every Christian, I believe we all want to know that our life is going to count for the glory of God. Nobody wants to live out the days of your life thinking, what I'm doing isn't going to matter. It's not going to make a mark for the kingdom of God. We want to live our life in such a way that we know that it's going to make a mark. It's going to be what God wants to do. But in this case, Moses had to go to Egypt to unlearn a lot of things that he had learned in Egypt. Hey, because you remember that when the last thing, the very reason that he had to run for his life was because that he saw some of his comrades being ill-treated. And he killed that Egyptian and buried him in the sand. He took things into his own hands. And he really, at that time, I'm convinced that Moses thought, I can take care of this problem. I can be a deliverer for my people. They didn't want him to be their deliverer. They didn't believe in him because they saw the attitude that he had. They saw the spirit by which he was doing what he was doing. And so he was rejected by his own people. He had to run for his own life. He had to unlearn some things, and he had to go the pathway of humility. He had to travel a pathway of going and subjecting himself to his father-in-law. He had to go into the wilderness and take care of his father-in-law's sheep for 40 years. How many of those days did he trudge around in the wilderness thinking, my life is a waste. My life is a waste. I'm not getting anything done. I'm not going to be what I, in my heart, what I believe that I have been called to be, a deliverer for my people. I'm out here in this wilderness, but God put him in that wilderness for a lot of reasons that I've already mentioned. He trained him in wilderness leadership. And he also humbled him to that task of being a shepherd. And so now, whenever God says to him, speaks to him and says, whenever he's saying, I can't do this, they won't hear me, they won't respond to me, they won't believe that you have called me to do this. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Now it was just the shepherd's staff. That's all it was. It was just his little shepherd's staff. It didn't mean all that much at all. But that's what God said to him to do. Take that rod that you've got, that little shepherd's crook that you use out there in the wilderness to prod the sheep along and to pull them back and to direct them. You take that I've given to you, and that really that was a symbol of his livelihood. It was a symbol of who he was, his identity. He was no longer identified as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was no longer identified as a place of prestige. But now he's identified with this shepherd's staff. That's who he is. He's a shepherd. And he's taking care of this daily responsibility. As menial as it may have seemed, that was his job and that was his new identity. And it had been that way for 40 years. But the Lord says, what you got in your hand? A rod, a staff. And he said, cast it on the ground. Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now, I don't know anything about snakes. I don't want to touch them. I certainly don't want to pick one up. But I know that if you had to pick one up, you never pick it up by the tail. And if Moses has spent 40 years in the wilderness, he spent plenty of time and he knew that. And he probably had to deal on a daily or weekly basis with serpents out there in the wilderness. He knew that was the wrong thing to do. God said, pick it up and pick it up by the tail. And as soon as he obeyed the voice of the Lord, that staff again became, that snake became the rod. Now what's the lesson in all this? What is it that God was saying to Moses? Well, you know, whenever we recognize if we really want God to use us, and I trust that's your prayer, Lord, I want to be used for your glory. And I want to do something that's going to count for the kingdom of God's sake. We know that we're all called. As we heard our brother Sunday morning describing, every one of us are called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Locally and everywhere, all over the world, we have a calling to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But But Moses had to come to the place that he recognized. He had to be brought to this place of low estate and not convinced that he can do anything. And no longer is he proud and arrogant and cocky. But now he's humbled and he recognizes, I can't do it. I can't do it. Do you know that's oftentimes the greatest successes in the kingdom of God is whenever we're willing to yet let God take not just our abilities, but our inabilities, our lack of ability. Those areas where we're afraid to step out. Those areas where we're not willing to really, take the step of faith. That's an area where God can be glorified because you didn't do it. And it wasn't your strength. This is a principle you'll see all throughout the scripture. And I'll just give you a few verses. The apostle Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. That's a Bible principle that God uses the weak. He uses the base. He uses those who do not have strength. He doesn't use the wisdom of the wise, but calls the foolish of this world. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in the world, let him become a fool. Let him become a fool. That's the one that God is going to use. That doesn't mean that you're a foolish person. It just means that you're not depending upon your natural wisdom and ability, but you're trusting God. You're weak and you recognize your inability. 1 Corinthians 1 and 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. On and on, verse after verse, reinforce this principle is that God, yes, He can use our talents. He does use our skills and our natural abilities. But the greatest successes for God that can come in our life is when we're willing to take and to give to the Lord that which is our inability, our weakness. So the rod was a symbol of his identity as a shepherd. It was a symbol of his livelihood, his income, how he was making his living, who he was, and so the Lord said, "Give it to me." And when he threw it on the ground, it became something that was alive. When he picked it back up in his hand, it was dead again. So such an important principle for us to realize that when we put things in the hands of the Lord, then they become alive. And when they are in our hands, they're dead. They have to be committed to the Lord and placed into the hands of the Lord for whatever He wants to do with our lives. So what is, that's the question for us all. It was the question to Moses. It's the question to you and I here tonight. And that is, what is it that is in your hand? What do you have? It's in your hand. That doesn't mean necessarily your abilities. It means, what do you have that you could place in the hands of the Lord? What is it that you have? Well, I believe that everything that we have belongs to God. Amen. Everything belongs to the Lord. I know that the scripture says the tithe is the Lord's, but really everything belongs to God. Everything we have, 100% of what we have is God's. The 10% we give is just a reminder to us every week that He is the owner of it all. And He's the one that has given us the blessing and the privilege of earning it and possessing it. And He's given it to us, but He's the owner, isn't He? Not only in our finances, but in every area of our life. He owns it all, and He wants us to give even of that which speaks of our lack of strength and lack of ability. We tend to lean on what we can do. But sometimes God calls us to do what we cannot do. Amen. Step out in faith and believe God and place it in His hands. And when you place things in His hands, that's when the miraculous can take place. Amen. And I think that all of us should consider the fact, no matter where you are, what phase of in your life, if you're young or middle-aged or older, it doesn't matter what age you are, God isn't keeping track of our age and saying, okay, now that you're 60 years old, you're too old to work for God, or 72, you're too old, or 80, you're too old, because you'll find all throughout the Scripture that God called people when they were very old to do mighty things. It was also just a lesson to each one of them that God uses us even in our weakness. Amen. Abraham didn't even leave his homeland until he was 75 years old. I don't know. I was trying to find out about Noah, but he was hundreds of years old when he built the ark. It took a long time to build it. And you talk about a task. Unbelievable. Task to do what the Lord called him to do. But age doesn't have to be and should not be a factor. But what really matters is, are you willing to lay your life and everything that you are and your future and put it in the hands of the Lord? And that's the principle that's given to us here when he spoke to Moses. What's in your hand? Throw it down. Take it out of your hand. Put it in the hands of God. And when you put it in the hands of the Lord, then the miraculous takes place. Amen. Praise God. Just the two little the loaves and the fishes of the little child, the little lad that brought those to the disciples and then to Jesus, and he multiplied just that small little lunch into a plenty for thousands. Amen. Anything that's placed in the hands of the Lord, whenever we're willing to place our life and our futures and everything into His hands, then He can take it and He can do the miraculous with it. Amen. You know that after this time, the Hebrew word changes. Before it was called the rod here, and the Hebrew word is a staff, describing the Hebrew or the shepherd's staff. But after that, it is called the rod of God. The rod of God. And so it became something that symbolized power and the miraculous. But all it was just this same wooden shepherd's staff. But because it had been committed to the Lord, it became the rod of the Lord. It was this same rod that Moses struck the Nile River and it turned to blood. That's in chapter 7 and verse 17. The same rod of God that brought a plague of frogs out of the waters. Struck the dust and turned them into gnats. Gnats stretched it toward heaven to bring down fire, thunder, and hail. Brought a plague of locusts. Divided the Red Sea. Struck a rock with it and water came out. It was this rod that had to be held into the air whenever he was fighting against the Midianites. Or was it the Amalekites? Whichever it was that he was fighting against. As long as his hands were in the air and the rod of the Lord would stretch forward, then they had victory. Do you know that God wants to take the common, the ordinary, what you may think He could never use, but if you'll just commit it to the Lord, God can do some wonderful, mighty things with it. Amen. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Put your life and your future in the hands of the Lord. That's what really matters. You know the Lord has placed a lot of things in our hands. Even right here at this local church, He's placed some mighty things in our hands. As we were in the service here Sunday afternoon, Sister Naomi's service, after we dismissed the service and we were standing here at the front, Brother Greg Deaton turned to me and he said, "Does that choir sing in your church every Sunday?" I said, "Yeah, that's our people. That choir sings in your church every Sunday." And what we take for granted, others think, "Wow, that was really great. That was wonderful." You know, we've got some things in our hands. And you know, really what we experience, I'm thankful for things like the choir when they sing. But do you know that the choir could even be more than it is? Placed in the hands of the Lord. It could do even greater and mightier things. Placed into the hands of the Lord. Just think of all the many wonderful things that God has placed in our hands. Even right here at this location. was thinking about this just earlier today. Not very many churches have a location right on Main Street like we do, where hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of cars drive by here every week. And God's put some things in our hands, an opportunity, a privilege. He's placed in our hand. We've got this building. It's big and it needs to be filled up with people. And God has given to us all of this, and it needs to be utilized for the kingdom of God. Now there's many other things as a church that we have been given. But let me tell you, you have some things that God has given you. There's some things that you need to commit to the Lord and yield to the Lord. Your life, who you are, needs to be committed to the Lord 100%. You know, the church, the whole mentality of the church today has gotten to the place of the church needs to be a place where everybody can just kind of drop by on Sunday morning and get in their hour or their hour and 15 minutes. A lot of churches have gone, some of the mega churches have gone to 3 services, 2 services on Sunday morning. And one of the reasons, it's not always because the church is so filled, they're doing it for convenience sake. And they'll tell you that one of the reasons why that they're doing it is because some people would rather come to church at 8:30 in the morning. And others want to come to church at 11:30 in the morning. And so we're doing it for convenience sake. Whatever we've got to do to get them in the door, because we've got to meet the convenience need of everybody, because everybody has to have their church fix for the week. Hour and 15 minutes, and then they're on to their ball games and to the golf course and everything else that they're involved in. And their life isn't centered around Jesus Christ. They're not building their life around the kingdom of God and the things of God. It's just a little church fix on Sunday morning. The will of God is for us to give it all to Him. That's what the call of God was to Moses. What do you have in your hand, Moses? Well, this is my rod. I use it every day in my work. This is who I am. This is how I make my living. This is what I do. And he said, give it to me. Lay it down. Get it out of your hands. And when you do, then the miraculous will begin to take place. Let me tell you, that's what will happen in your life if you're willing to step out in faith and place yourself, your life, your future, everything that you have. That symbolized who he was, his identity. It symbolized his livelihood, even his income. Everything was to be placed into the hands of the Lord. And when you do that, then the miraculous begins to work and to take place. Hallelujah. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to lay it down? To give it all to the Lord? Everything placed into the hands of the Lord? Too often we think that's only for those who do missions. That's only for a few people who have committed their life 100% to the gospel's sake. Oh no. Terrible misconception. That's for every believer, every Christian in the body of Christ. Our lives belong to God every day, not just Sunday. Every day we have a responsibility to commit our ways, our life, to the Lord. And what's so wonderful is when you're willing to do that, when you're willing to do that, He takes what you place in His hands and He works supernaturally. And you see the hand of God working in ways that you could have never imagined or believed that it could happen. But that principle is that the potential of our lives and our effectiveness in the kingdom of God comes whenever we're willing to completely place it into the hands of the Lord. Amen. Placed in His hands, then He can turn the water into wine. He can turn a lad's lunch into a lunch for a multitude. You place your life into the hands of the Lord and who you are. Amen. Don't too many people are thinking about, well, I've got this ability, so at least I can give this to the Lord. But there's some things, there's some areas of your life that you don't feel all that comfortable in stepping out and doing, but yet that is what the Lord wants to put His hand on. Whatever area of your life. Moses had said, they won't listen to me, I can't speak plain. He was just popping off every excuse he could. Lord, they can't use me. I can't speak plain. I don't have the ability. And when you read chapter 3 and chapter 4, he had a half a dozen excuses why that he couldn't. And finally, he had to give it all to the Lord. Then the miraculous began to happen. Amen. And when he did move forward, And he did go. They recognized him as the deliverer. Immediately they recognized him as the one called of God. Even when he went into Pharaoh's court, he was recognized as the deliverer of Israel. And that had to be a miraculous thing that God's touch upon Moses had caused them to realize, truly this is the man of God that has been chosen to be our deliverer. Hallelujah. What we've witnessed in the last few months among some of these young people as we've had these youth-led services is we have witnessed and seen young people doing things they've never done before. Testifying and singing and participating in ways that we've never seen them doing that before. And we've seen quite a change in a lot of them. A big change. And then stepping out. And tonight they're in the youth room over there trying to have 30 young people over there tonight. I don't know if they made it or not, but they're trying and putting forth an effort to reach as many as they can for the kingdom of God. Sometimes God puts us in places like this to stretch us. Amen. Stretch us. Use us in ways that we've never been used before. What's in your hand? We'll put it into his hand tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Put it into his hand. He can do something miraculous with it. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the wonderful promise from your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to direct our lives. You're able, Lord, to use us, Lord, even in ways that we could never imagine that you can. And I ask, Lord, that you would just speak directly to our hearts here tonight, that we would be willing to place not only our ability, but Lord, those areas of our life, our inabilities, our weaknesses, our failures, oh Lord, placed into your hands. And then Lord, as we do, we want to see your mighty hand moving in a miraculous way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think the Lord would like to stretch all of us. Amen. Into some areas and new endeavors for the kingdom that we have never, ever before. Amen. Are you willing? Are you willing to put it in his hands? Are you willing to allow him to work? As long as you've got it in your hands, well under control, then you're not going to witness the miraculous power of God. But whenever you say yes to the Lord and you place it all in his hands, then you'll see it. God began to move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God, we know that you're at work. We know that you're at work. And you can deal with us and speak to us, Lord, about every area that you, Lord, want to commit. One committed to you, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be willing to do that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God.